My Lord, oh, great God, oh, my Lord, oh, city back, that's just hem of your garment. I know I'll be made. Oh, she cried, oh, oh, Lord, my Lord, oh, Lord, my God, oh. My Lord, oh, said if I could just touch hem of your garment, I know I'll be made, whole. God is an on time God. He may not be there when you want him, but he's always right on time. It was on time for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. It was on time for Daniel in the lion's den. It was on time for the Israelites when they came to the banks of the Red Sea. It was on time for David when he faced 9 feet tall Goliath. He was on time for Ezekiel when he stood in a valley of dry bones and he asked him, son of man, can these bones live? He was on time for Jesus when he got up early one Sunday morning while the dew was still hanging on the roses before the rooster said, cock-a-doodle-doo. I tell you, he's an on-time God. And everything that has breath ought to praise him. Brother Jeremy, I said this morning, and I concur, if I had 1,000 tongues, if I had 10,000 tongues, and if I praised him with everyone, it would not nearly be enough. Amen. For he is worthy. Oh, I tell you, he is worthy to be praised. Amen. Let me call your attention back to the place where Brother Harris read John chapter 12. And I want to read verses 31 and 32. And I love for you to read it after me as you do so well. Verses 31 and 32. And the emphatic verse is verse number 32. John chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I want to read verse 32 again. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I want to announce this subject with me. The law of attraction. And the lifted up Christ. Let's say it again. The law of attraction. And the lifted up Christ. You know, there's a great law at work. Many great laws are at work in this world. God created the structured order of the universe, because he's a God of order and not a God of chaos. In fact, when you look at Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning of the Bible, it talks about cosmos. Cosmos means orderly arrangement. And what God did was he brought cosmos out of chaos. Chaos is that which is irrational, orderless, doesn't have arrangement, but God brought order out of chaos. And he can do that in your life. If you're confused, the Lord can give you clarity. Amen. If you lack any understanding, he can give you understanding. Amen? Now, I don't know whether you're familiar with it, but there's a law of attraction that's in this world. Amen. And attract means something that has a feature, a quality that draws you. Now, when something attracts you, you'll be willing to spend time and money. Oh, I wish I had some help here. That's why a man, if he sees a girl he's attracted to, he spend time and money. Oh, I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. Amen. He'll spend time and money. And there's a law, there's something that attracts us in life. Now, Jim Rohn said that success is not something you achieve, it's something you attract by the person you become. If you develop an attractive personality, people then gravitate towards you. They want to be around you because they say you're going somewhere, you about something. Amen? So that was a great law of attraction. And sometimes people can be attracted to things that are deceptive and destructive. Amen. The devil uses the law of attraction. He used the law of attraction in the Garden of Eden. And he was so skillful, the Bible talks about he has what is called cunning craftiness. He ain't just slick, he's shown up slick. He ain't just smart, he's shown up smart. The devil will make some that's wrong look right. And some that's right look wrong. In the Garden of Eden, he used the law of attraction on Mother Eve. And she was attracted to that which was destructive. A lot of folks, even right now, looking for the right thing in the wrong place. Amen. Looking for the right thing in the wrong place. And so this great law of attraction the devil can use, and he does use. That's why a lot of people not here today, because they ain't attracted. Amen. But tomorrow at national championship game, the place gonna be full. Praise God. I'm gonna be there looking at it too, the Lord willing. Amen. I'm gonna be attracted too. Praise God. Is that all right? But not only is the law of attraction used in a negative sense, God uses the law of attraction. Amen. And he attracts us to salvation. The Lord has created within our hearts a desire to be saved. Is that right? And he knew there were certain things he would do that would attract us. And so this is a great law that works. And Jesus, the question is, how does Jesus attract people? He is still, after 2,000 years, one of the most compelling attracting figures of all time. Time magazine has a person of the year, but Jesus Christ is the person of the ages. He is the man that still appeals to, and he attracts people. But let me share a few things with you. I want to talk about three things, and in particular, I want you to think about the great laws of life. When you understand life, you got to understand there are great laws that are in place. And they work. Either they work for us or they work against us. And if we're wise, we understand how these great laws work. There's a lot of confusion in the world, but God is not the author of confusion. God gives us clarity. God gives us understanding. God gives us intelligence. And God never intends for us to be confused. It's sort of like the man who was confused, and he went to a lecture, and he heard this brilliant lecturer lecture, and somebody asked him, "Well, do you understand?" He said, "No, I'm just confused on a higher level." And that can happen sometimes. We can be confused on a higher level. Amen? Well, there are some great laws that the Creator has created. One such law is every seed produces after its own kind. That's a great law. And we could also say every deed produces after its own kind. If you cussing folks out, sooner or later you gonna get cussed out. Oh, y'all better hit me on that. Is that all right? You mistreat people, you may well expect to get mistreated. And so every deed produces after his own kind. There's another great law. It says that you reap what you sow. Yeah. We talked about that law in Sunday school this morning. This great law says that you reap what you, and also other dimensions of this law is that if you sow sparingly, you will reap also sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. These are great laws that are at work in the universe. For example, God says in his word, there is a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up that which was planted. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to dance. Now don't get your time mixed up. Don't be dancing when you ought to be crying. Is that all right? And don't be crying when you ought to be dancing. There's a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. And I raise the question, what are you attracted to? What attracts you? David was on a rooftop, breathtaking view, and he saw an amazingly beautiful woman. And he was attracted. You see, sometimes stuff can look pretty and be deadly. Y'all better hit me on that. They can put rat poison in a nice package. Is that all right? Achan saw in Jericho, God said, "These are accursed things." You might want that dude because he's got his hair slicked back and just got a facial. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Got a new suit. But he ain't no good though. Is that all right? Attractive. But ain't no good. Might be some people in your life. You like them, but they ain't no good for you. Because they're not helping you to get where you're trying to go. Is that all right? And so God fixed it that He attracts men to salvation. What must I do? What are the laws of salvation? Here they are. The laws of salvation is you hear the gospel. the message of salvation. You believe that message. You repent of your sin. You confess Christ as the Son of God. And you are immersed, are baptized in water for the remission of your sin. Here's another law. And then we talked about you go to work on your salvation. If you work on your salvation, God will bless you. If you're serious about going to heaven, God see you being serious, and God will help you, and God will bless you. As you are serious about going to heaven, I'm telling you there's help for you. Amen. But if you half-stepping, you shucking and jiving, he sees that too. Oh, is that all right? Yes, and so there are laws that, in fact, because the world is ordered, we have laws of philosophy and we can study. Our kids can go to school and study disciplines. For example, logic is a study. It is a philosophical study. And logic deals with the laws of right thinking and right reasoning. And all of us, whether you're familiar with the laws of logic, the law of the excluded middle, amen, the law of identity, all of us use laws of logic because all of us on some level think correctly. And then there are laws of ethics. And these are the laws that teach us what's right and what's wrong. Now remember, we can choose between right and wrong, but we cannot choose what is right and what is wrong. You see, that's why some people are missing. They want to decide, I don't see nothing wrong with it. It ain't up to you. This ain't your world. You didn't create the world in 6 days. Huh? And whether you recognize or not, we creatures. We're dependent on air. If somebody sucked all the air out of this room right now, you wouldn't be concerned about no sermon. You'd be concerned about trying to get some air. Is that right? So we are dependent on certain things. And then there's a law of what's called epistemology, which simply means, and Brother Ronald Taylor would know about this, it means how do we know what we know? How do we know what we know? What is the basis of human knowledge? And then there's a study of metaphysics. And metaphysics is the spiritual dimension of life, which talks about the ultimate reality. What is life really all about? We were born, we're living, but what is the meaning of life? And this Bible really is a metaphysical book. It's a spiritual book because it talks about the ultimate. See, life is more than going to school, getting a degree, meeting baby girl and pooking them. Life is about God. Amen. People born, people live, people die. What is the meaning of life? And what am I attracted to? You ever find yourself being attracted to the wrong kind of folks? Because there's a law of attraction. Here's the second thing I want to share with you, and that is, how would Christ attract men to himself? How would he do it? Well, if you, Brother Harris, read it, you have your Bibles. Let's go back and look at a few things here in this 12th chapter of John's Gospel. And he makes a statement. Well, let's look at verses 24, and then we're going to go to verse number 32. You have that? Say amen. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except means in logic, if and only if. If and only if. That's the force of an acceptive sentence. He says, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it shall bring forth much fruit. So when we plant a seed, that seed has to die to produce. That's the law of the universe. Law of the universe, you reap what you sow. Law of the universe, if you sow to the spirit, you can't reap death if you sow to the right thing. You can't die if you sow to the right thing. On the other hand, if you sow to the wrong thing, you're going to reap death. Law of the universe. Now, let's look at verse 32. And I, using that same thought, he said, except a wheat, a grain of wheat does what? Fall into the ground and die. What happened? It abides alone. Using that same train of thought, he now says, and I, if I be what? Lifted up from the earth, I will draw or attract all men unto me. Let's think about something. Well, how would he die? Well, let's talk about how he did not die. First of all, he did not grow old and die of old age. He did not die by drowning. He did not die by being thrown off a cliff. He did not die by being stabbed to death. He did not die by being shot. He did not die in a house fire. He did not die in a terrorist attack. Well, how would he die? He would die by being lifted up on a cross. And that would attract Angie. Now, if a man see a girl and he want to holler at her. Amen, Lance. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate that. You feeling me? He got to understand, how am I going to attract her? Yes, sir. Just this past week, Janet J. Kai told us she had to put Lance on probation for a while. See what he going to work out. So Wes, I think he worked out. But Lance wasn't feeling that. He wasn't hearing that. Hey, man. But she had to admit that was some attraction there. So the question is, how would Jesus attract people to him? He said, Brother Wyatt, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. He said, my death and why I died is going to attract people unto me. Is that all right? Well, what would he achieve in his death? He would overcome. He said, the prince of this world is cast out. The devil's trying to mess up your life, but Jesus came to break his power. Amen. Jesus came to do something for you that opens the door of salvation. And he said, I'm gonna attract men by loving them so much that I will die for them. I'm gonna attract them by doing something. I'm gonna touch you at the deepest level. I'm going to die for you. And if I be lifted up from the earth, every Sunday in the Church of Christ, we go back down the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross. Is that right? We say that this bread represents his broken body. This cup represents his shed blood, and that attracts people. That's the law of attraction. Well, Lord, how you gonna attract Wes? I'm gonna be lifted up for Wes. And if I can get Wes to understand why I was lifted up for him, I can draw him unto me. Is there something amazing about that cross? It's a magnetism. There's an attraction about that cross. And that's why the hymn might say, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm what? I'm happy. All the day. Oh, I tell you, the cross is an amazing instrument. Somebody said the streams of civilization rise at the cross. The fingers of prophecy point to the cross. The great problem of human redemption is solved in the cross. All the glories of the world find their pivot point in the cross. The great doctrines of the gospel revolves around the cross. The incarnation was preparatory to the cross. The transfiguration foreshadowed the cross. The resurrection was the complement to the cross. Pentecost was the fruit of the cross. Bethlehem, Nazareth, and Galilee gleamed wide only in light of the cross. All the great doctrines of grace revolve around the cross. My new life with a peace that passes all understanding is found at the cross. The world is stripped of its charm at the cross. Earthly glory fades at the cross. My condemnation is lifted at the cross. My ruin is removed at the cross. And that's why somebody said, hallelujah for the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, it attracts me. This cross attracts me. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll attract Sister Carolyn Johnson. I will attract Sister Flo Long. I'll attract my brother Earl Allen. I'll attract Jerry Harris. I'll attract every Sterling. If y'all just look at it, that twisted, tortured figure on that cross. He's twisted, he's bleeding, he's dying. Because he loved you so much. Even though folks spit on him, they beat him. But he still loved you so much that he went. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw. Oh, I believe in the power of nice thing, but the thing that really attracts people, it's the fact that the Lord loved you enough to die for you. Love you enough to be raised from the dead. Here's the final thing I want to share with you. And that is, lift up Jesus. Since Jesus was lifted up for you, shouldn't you be lifting him up by the way you live? Amen. Dr. Abraham Maslow, who was a psychologist, said that he talked about the basic needs of people, and he talked about one need is what's called self-actualization, which is the need of self-fulfillment. How many this morning really want to be self-fulfilled? And you want your life to really matter. You want your life to really count. You don't want to be a hapless orphan on the doorsteps of destiny. You don't want to be whirling around in a conglomeration of confusion. But instead, you want your life to really matter. Well, the cross of Christ helps me to realize my deepest potential. Because the cross of Christ brings out the best in me. When folks around me trying to bring out the worst in me. You know, sometimes we get all mad and say, you do that again, you're going to wish you hadn't. Is that all right? But the cross of Christ, the law of attraction, what attracts me? I've been running behind this man now over 30 years and I don't feel no way it's time. I still want to get closer to this man called Jesus. I still want to learn more about this man called Jesus. And I want to help other people to learn about this man called Jesus, because it's something about the law of attraction. Because what Christ will do, as I conclude, he will make you richer than you could ever dream. I want to have that. Dr. White, would you come up here and do some reading for me, Doc, as we close out? I want you to read two scriptures for me, and we're going to close out. I want 2 Corinthians 8, and I want everybody to turn that. If you have your Bibles, please turn to that passage with me. And then I want you to read Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 8. And I'm saying that Christ will make you richer. Amen. Now you ever dream. Amen. I want to lift up Christ by living as a Christian ought. Amen. You hear that, Dr. Wyatt? What'd that say?
2 Corinthians 8.
And verse 9. Listen to this. I want you to just listen to this. I'm going to have Brother Wyatt to read it, and I want all of us to read it together, because it's something about it. When it comes out of your mouth. What does it say, Brother Wyatt?
For ye know. The grace of our Lord.
Jesus Christ.
That. Though he was rich. Yet for your sake. He became poor.
That ye.
Through his poverty.
Might be rich. How many can say this morning I'm rich? You may not be materially rich, but you're spiritually rich if you're in Christ. Now we're going to read it again. I want everybody to read. I'm going to have Brother Wyatt to read it, and we're going to say it after him. So read it, Brother Wyatt.
For ye know.
The grace of our Lord.
Jesus Christ.
That.
Though he was rich. Yet for your sakes.
He was rich. Wait a minute. He was rich, y'all. He was rich. In the control of the myriad of constellations beyond the searching gaze of the most penetrating telescope. Yes, sir. He was rich in the rising tides of the ocean. Yes, sir. He was rich in a legion of angels sitting around his throne saying, holy, 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 holy. Yes, sir. Oh, he was rich. Tina, he was rich. Though he were rich, come on.
Yet for your sakes. He became poor.
Y'all, read that again, y'all. Come on. Though he were rich.
Yet for your sakes. He became poor. That ye. Through his poverty. Might be rich.
Now he came from heaven's adoration to earth's agony. He came from heaven's coronation to earth's condemnation. He came down here and was so poor he didn't have a place to lay his head. He said, foxes have holes. Yvonne, he said, birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere. He's embracing poverty because he wants Yvonne to be rich. Is that all right? Amen. And he was so poor, he didn't even have a grave. And when he died, he didn't even have a cemetery plot. But he told Joseph of Arimathea, I'm just going to need it 3 days. I'm going to give it back to you. Is that all right? Because in 3 days, I'm going to rise again, never to die again. Now here's the final passage. Ephesians 3 and verse 8. We're going to read this together. We're going to conclude.
Ephesians 3:8.
What did that say, Brother Wyatt?
Unto me.
Let's read it.
Unto me.
Who am less.
Than the least.
Of all saints.
Is this grace given? that I should preach.
That I should preach
among the Gentiles.
Among the Gentiles.
The unsearchable.
The unsearchable
riches of Christ.
Riches of Christ. I'm talking about, and that word unsearchable means incalculable. Now they kind of figured out what Trump is worth, what Gates is worth, what Buffett is worth. Amen. I think the last time I checked, I think Buffett was the richest man in the world. Not Buffett, but Gates. And last time I checked, he had about $46 billion. Brother Harris, he about to catch you, Doc. You got to be careful now. About $46 billion. Buffett got big money. But do you know that Buffett, Trump, Gates, Oprah, Tiger, anybody else y'all know who loaded? What this boy named Cookie who got this Oracle company? What this boy name? What's his name, Wyatt? I know you know what it is. If you don't know, I ask Spurling. I know he'll get to me. Well, anyway, the wealth of Christ is so vast, you can't even calculate it. The numerical system of accounting fails when it comes down to how rich Christ has made us. Not only does he give me the abundant life, he gives me eternal life. Abundant life right now. And I told you last Sunday, I want to say it again. Nothing you're going to face this year that the grace of Christ can't handle. I don't care what it is. It may be bad, but I'm telling you, and then we're going to face, not only this year or the rest of our life, the grace of Christ can't handle. Is that right? Because he said, and we can say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So let me leave you with this. Salvation is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. How many want to be happy? It ain't a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. Huh? Because the happiness of your mind depends on the quality of your thoughts. So be happy. Is that all right? If you want to be happy, what kind of thoughts you got to think? Huh? How you gonna be happy and all you do is think about depressed stuff? I ain't got no money, nobody like me. You gonna ever be happy if you spend most of your week thinking about it? And then you got negative folks feeding you. Huh? Man, I can't kill nothing, won't nothing die. Well, get out and around me. Is that all right? How you gonna be happy? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is it. Abraham Lincoln said a man is about happy as he makes up his mind to be. Is that all right? And the word of God said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and Christ is the wisdom and the knowledge and the power of God. I'm closing this, but let me tell you this. There was an incident that happened in the Old Testament. The people of God were disobedient. And they began to complain and murmur, and God got tired. Sometimes even God get tired, Lance. And so God sent fiery serpents among them, started to bite them, and they started to die. And they cried to Moses, oh, help us, Moses, because we're going to die. Is that all right? Well, God said, all right, I tell you what, I'll give them a second chance. Take a snake, put him on a stick, lift him up, and the folks who looks at him will live. And the folks who won't will die. Is that all right? And some of those stubborn folk were too stubborn to look at a snake to live. Is that all right? Well, when I come to the New Testament, Jesus Christ said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men under me. Is that all right? So somebody ought to lift him up. And when you lift him up, you'll see he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is that all right? If you lift him up, you'll know he's bread when you're hungry. When you lift him up, you'll know he's water when you're thirsty. Is that all right? If you lift him up, you'll know he's the way, he's the truth and the life. Is that all right? If you lift him up, you'll know he's the resurrection and the life. If you lift him up, you'll know he's the bread of life. Is that all right? If you lift him up, you'll know he's Mary's baby. If you lift him up, you'll know he's the champion of Mount Calvary. Is that all right? If you lift him up, you'll know he's a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Is that all right? If you lift him up, you'll know he's Alpha and Omega. If you lift him up, you'll know he's the beginning and the end. If you lift him up, you'll know he's the first and he is the last. And if you lift him up, you'll know he's the best thing that ever happened to you. Can you say amen to that? Would you stand on your feet? That's the message. If you lift him up, praise God. Can you say, I'm just too blessed to be stressed? Can you say that? I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. And I'm just too blessed to be stressed. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your goodness. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus. And thank you, Father, for allowing him to be a sacrifice. And I pray this morning for every house represented today. Everyone who, Father, who got up this morning and said, I'm going to church and I'm going to worship my God. I ask a special blessing upon every husband here, every wife, every child, every brother, every sister. I pray, Father, for Brother Rutledge in the sound room. I pray for Lance singing the song this morning. I pray for Jeremy leading the prayer. I pray for Brother Harris reading the scripture. I pray for Ron giving the invocation. And Father, I pray for me preaching the word. I pray for Nisa signing for Sister Long. Oh Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for the law of attraction. And we thank you for being attracted to Christ. And help us to be attracted to him all the days of our lives. In Christ's name, let's say together, amen. Amen. I keep falling in love with you. Over again. Now I keep falling over. Now he gets sweeter and I'm attracted to him. Oh, what a, I'm attracted to him. I keep falling in over.